there's no easy way to say what we're about to say.
We believe your wife is a German spy.
This year, the truth will be discovered.
I know for a fact you'll be proven wrong.
Allied, starring Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard. Allied, in cinemas November 25th, rated TBC.
Hey, what happened to my kiss?
Wednesday, December 24th, 2014, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint, Daily Sports Writer, coming to you from Denver, Colorado. You know, we're bringing you our Christmas episode today. We talk sports every single week, and we try to give you just a little bit different outlook on the sports stories that you care the most about. We do release a new podcast every single Wednesday. You can download it on iTunes. You can download it on Podomatic every single week. Listen to it when it is convenient for you, whether that is out for a walk, whether you're working out, whether you're driving, sitting in traffic, nothing else to do, whatever you've got going. The great thing about the podcast, and like we've talked about before, you may have listened to the Daily Dose in a different format. The great thing about the podcast is it allows you, you know, you can hit pause, you got to go run and do some stuff. You know what I'm starting to hear? I'm starting to hear a lot of people from a few people on Twitter, a few people just personally have said, you know what I really like doing? I turn on the podcast. I put the headphones on at work. I'm sitting in my boring cubicle with nothing else to do. I put the podcast on at work. I do some work. I'm listening to it. I get to hear a few different takes. I get to hear a few different things that are going on in sports. And it kind of helps my day at work go just a little bit faster and not be quite as painful. So great to hear from you. I appreciate the feedback. Hey, first and foremost, and we have a lot of things to get to today. We've got a number of stories we want to touch on today. But first and foremost, how can you contact me? If you would like to hit me up on Twitter, my Twitter handle is at DailyDose22, DalyDose22. At DailyDose22, you can find me on Twitter. You find me live tweeting a lot of the games, at least giving some commentary on a lot of the big games, a lot of the big stories. Make sure you hit me on there. You can also find me on Facebook. If you're sick of hearing about Aunt Martha's third marriage, you can find me on Facebook, cd.daily.dose. Best way to contact me, you can hit me up anytime. Hey, we've got a lot of things to get to today. Today, we are bringing you, like I said, our Christmas special. We've got a holiday special coming for you. A couple things to touch on today. We're going to talk a little bit of NFL. Pro Bowl selections came out. We're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up. The playoff picture is beginning to take some serious shape, and we can start to see some of the things that are coming down. Going to talk a little bit of college football. Bowl games obviously are going. Got a little bit of coach movement. Got a number of things to get to on that. We're going to talk a little bit of NBA today. I am actually going to give you my Christmas list today too. So give you my Christmas list, a couple things that I am really, really hoping to find under the tree or in the stocking. You know, tomorrow it's coming up very, very quickly, trying to get everything finished. And as usual, we will be bringing you our Daily Dose top five list that we do, a very popular segment on the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. And just so you know, it's Christmas themed. We do have a little bit of a holiday theme to it today here on the Christmas special. Hey, do you have your shopping done? Are you ready? I mean, it's in a few hours. It's in a few hours. And if you have children or younger siblings or just a young person in the house, it's in even less than what you're thinking. It's not just a few hours. It's even less than that. It's coming very, very quickly. They may be up at 12:01 tonight waking you up. So are you ready? Did you get everything? Are you having to go by the gas station and pick your wife up a pair of jumper cables? I hope not. I hope you're a little bit on time. Are you having to go to Walmart and pick through the leftover boxes and you've got to get that that terrible box of cologne perfume? It's got some like a soap on a rope in it. You know those hideous gifts that you don't want. It's called like, you know, Strange. We all remember that one. Did you get your shopping done? Are things knocked out? You know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves for Christmas, don't we? We put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Hey, I just have to find the perfect gift and the perfect tree and the perfect ornament with the perfect lights to give to this person that I probably don't even like that much. And we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to come through on Christmas. And then we just got to go do it all again next year. Got a lot of things to get to today. Got a lot of things we got to talk about today. Hey, a couple things coming out breaking news-wise. For one, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the NBA here in a few minutes, but the Los Angeles Lakers last night somehow knock off the Golden State Warriors. Somehow they beat the Golden State Warriors by 10. By 10. Which is not that big of a story. Hey, it's the NBA. I guess anything can happen. I don't know. But what's interesting is that Kobe Bryant didn't play. Kobe didn't play, and they beat the Warriors, the best team, at least record-wise, in the league. Remember when they were just like a week ago, they were Charmin? They were so soft, they were Charmin. Kobe was yelling at people, screaming at his GM. And now they're beating the Warriors without him in the lineup. Now, I'm not quite ready to say they're better off without him, but the ball does seem to move remarkably well when he's not in the lineup, does it not? When he's not going 8 for 30, doesn't it seem like they have a little more continuity, a little more movement? I don't know. You wonder what Kobe's thinking as he watches that. Is he taking credit and saying, well, hey, it's a good thing I called him Charmin. That's what fixed it. I don't know. I know this. I know Mitch Kupchak can't wait for him to get out of there. He's counting down the days. Hey, a test on Cleveland Cavaliers center, Anderson Varejão, has shown that he has a torn Achilles and will miss the remainder of the season. Cleveland Cavaliers are not looking good as it is. As it is, they are real, real hit and miss. I realize they brought in, you know, they've got LeBron, they've got Love, they've got all these guys, but you don't have much of a presence inside. And they were already looking to go get someone. They were already looking to try to find someone and see if they couldn't go get a big man. And now it looks like they're going to have to do that even more. Keep this in mind. One player they may be interested in is Timofey Mozgov of the Denver Nuggets. They need a big man, and Mozgov could fill that need. I don't know if they have anything that Denver would want or if they have anything to offer, but they might be looking for a big man because they already don't look good. You know, you have to wonder if LeBron is just looking around going, what did I do? What did I do? I expect them to get better. Again, I've told you in the past, I expect the Cavaliers to improve. Let's see how they start to look in January. Let's see if they start to show in some improvement. This doesn't help, though. This doesn't help one single bit. Now you've got the only big man that you did have that was worth anything. Now he's down and out for the season with a torn Achilles. So Cavaliers will miss Varejão. There's no question about that. The Houston Rockets have signed their head coach, Kevin McHale, to a contract extension. They're going to give him another 3 years worth more than $12 million. Hey, at some point, you got to wonder if McHale is starting to feel a little bit of pressure because they have brought people in. They have built this team to kind of win this year. You do kind of wonder at what point he starts to feel pressure because Rockets haven't done much in the postseason. We'll see if they do this year. They are primed. They are primed for a run this year. If they can't make it this year, they may never make it. The NFL released their Pro Bowl selections, and the Denver Broncos lead the way with 9 Pro Bowlers on that roster. AFC West champion Denver Broncos get 9 players in. Here's my problem, and let me run down the players. Here's the players that made it. For the Denver Broncos, you had Peyton Manning, of course, Ryan Clady. I'm not sure if Ryan Clady belongs on that roster. I like Clady. Hasn't been great. We've started to see a steady decline over the last few years of Ryan Clady. Doesn't move quite as well as he once did. And with the offensive line woes that the Denver Broncos have had, I'm a little surprised at that. Cornerback Chris Harris absolutely belongs on this list. Von Miller's had a phenomenal year. If not for J.J. Watt, we'd be talking about Von Miller a lot more this year. Aqib Talib has had a great year. Wide receiver Demaryius Thomas is on the list. Julius Thomas is on the list. He has so many touchdowns, I think you have to put him on there. Safety T.J. Ward and defensive end DeMarcus Ware round that out. There is one guy that is not on that list, and I've told you, I think you could move some people. I don't know if Brian Clady belongs on that list. I'm not sure he does. Julius Thomas has stats, so I'll give you that as a tight end. Peyton Manning hasn't had a phenomenal year. And the last month or so has been anything but phenomenal. But there's a guy that's missing off this list that I really wish was on there. And I'm not trying to be greedy and get a 10th guy on there. I'd be glad to make a trade. Let's talk about the NFL. Let's jump in and let's get to the NFL. You saw the Denver Broncos on Monday Night Football lose to the Cincinnati Bengals. Couple takeaways that I get from this game. For one, let's be real clear. The Bengals had a lot more on the line than Denver did. And I don't put it all on that. I'll be honest. I was shocked that Andy Dalton, when he went out and threw that pick six to open the game, I was shocked that they bounced back. But they get the big run from the running back. Cincinnati gets back in. It was a weird game. Since he runs the ball on a Denver defense that hasn't allowed any run, you saw the Broncos can't move the ball, move the ball constantly, and then go back to can't move the ball yet again. The Broncos are out of linebackers. They, you know, they are depleted on that in that linebacker core, and they're getting very depleted in a few different areas. One of the things, when you look at that linebacker core, and that to me was the key of the game, that and the offensive line. The Broncos are playing with Von Miller. Then you've got Steven Johnson, and then you've got Todd Davis, who's a rookie out of Sacramento State or something. Broncos are really, really thin at linebacker, anorexic at linebacker. And the problem is you saw the front four for the Broncos was okay. I wouldn't give them an A+, but they were okay. Don't always put pressure on the quarterback without a blitz, but they were pretty stout against the run. The problem is if they slip through that first seam, and we saw that again and again, when they got through that first seam, those linebackers were out of position, were nowhere to be found. Now, as bad as that is, and that's bad, the Broncos basically brought safety TJ Ward up to play kind of a glorified linebacker position. It reminded me of the days when Dennis Smith and John Lynch, we know that their best days in coverage might be behind them, but they can come up and support the run almost as a linebacker. Here's the problem. You have Raheem Moore back there. I don't know if Raheem Moore is ever going to be the player that we are kind of hoping he'll be. It always seems like he's a step away and just a touch out of position. Raheem, the bad dream, always seems like he's given up a big alley. There are times I think David Bruton is better. I don't know. The Broncos have some issues on the defensive side of the ball. They need to get healthy at the linebacker position quickly. And the Broncos offensive line can't protect Peyton Manning. And we have seen in the last few years, and I know there's a lot of talk about, it was funny to me. I was on Twitter just kind of, you know, live tweeting a little bit on the game and giving my thoughts and some things like that. And it was funny just to read the things that were coming on Twitter, because early on it was Peyton Manning is bad. There's something wrong with Peyton. Peyton Manning shouldn't even be playing. He looks terrible. And then the Broncos go where they outscore Cincinnati like 21-3 or something in that span in the third quarter. Everybody is, oh, don't count out Peyton. Peyton is still good. Peyton is still an elite quarterback. And then we went to the fourth quarter, and it was Peyton should retire. Everybody just settle down. Calm down. Take a breath. It's okay. Here's the bottom line. The offensive line is really, really struggling to protect him. And I give Cincinnati some of that credit, because they do have a defensive line that can do that to people. It's not like they are without talent. Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins, that is a talented front four that the Cincinnati Bengals have. But I don't care who you are. And we've seen this through the years, and we kind of tend to forget this. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Joe Montana. I don't care if you're John Elway. I don't care if you're Tom Brady. I don't care if you're Peyton Manning. If you have defensive linemen in your face, around your knees, around your head, you're not going to be very effective. That is a fact. That is across the board. And we saw all night on Monday night, the offensive line couldn't fire out and push anyone off the line. CJ Anderson was getting hit in the backfield almost every single time he touched the football. And then Peyton Manning had people in his face, people hitting his arm, people hitting his legs. I don't care who you are. You're not effective. Don't forget, it was just earlier this season that the Patriots were having kind of the same issue with Tom Brady. We saw a little bit last year with Tom Brady, and people were saying, what's wrong with Tom Brady? He's not very good. Maybe he's lost it. Maybe he should retire. Do you remember earlier this year, they were seriously talking on one of the major networks, sports networks. Maybe it was time to bench Tom Brady. I don't care who you are. If you don't have protection, you're not going to be very good. That is just cut and dried. It is very, very easy. And the other thing to keep in mind with Peyton Manning, if he can't step into his throw and have a little bit of space there, he doesn't have the strong arm to gun it down the field. He's got to be able to step into that thing. If he's throwing off his back foot, like we saw, it's going to be a duck probably even if he steps into it, but at least it'll be an accurate duck. But when he doesn't have that space, when he doesn't have that room to step into the throw, then it's going to be a fluttering, wobbling, inaccurate duck. You would think with all the rain on Monday night, his ducks would have been a little bit more comfortable. Didn't work out that way. Now the Broncos have the Oakland Raiders coming to town. And the Raiders, they're 3-12, but keep this in mind. In their past five games, the Oakland Raiders, and I can't believe I'm saying this, I'll be honest. The Oakland Raiders have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Buffalo Bills. Now, that doesn't sound like a murderer's row, I understand, but keep in mind, those three teams were trying to get in the playoffs. They had something to play for. I'll give the Raiders this. They're being scrappy. Now, most of it has been at home. I will say that. They're not quite the same on the road. Most of that has been at home when they have the local fans dressed up like Ewoks or whatever it is that they do back in Oakland. But that might be a scrappy team. If Denver can beat the Oakland Raiders, they will clinch the number two seed in the AFC. They will get that first round bye. And let me tell you, they need that first round bye. When we talk about these injuries, we talk about these linebackers that need to get back to being healthy. And keep in mind, linebacker Brandon Marshall could return. When we talk about those situations, Denver needs a first round bye desperately. Desperately. We'll keep an eye on that and see how things go. Hey, keep in mind this week, there's only a few games that really matter. We're going to touch on a couple of those games because there's only a few games that really have any playoff implications at all. It's not every game this week. There are some very good games, but there's only a few games that really have playoff implications. One of those games is Cleveland versus Baltimore. Baltimore, of course, trying to play their way in and trying to get their way into the playoffs. Here's something interesting to keep in mind with the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns, you had Brian Hoyer, gets benched, very, very ineffective. They bring in Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel doesn't do anything. I don't know what, he looked like they literally had pulled him out of the stands and given him the ball. He was pretty ineffective. He ends up pulling a hamstring, and they put him back out. They say that Hoyer's not 100% healthy either. They say Hoyer has some issues. So this week, with Cleveland going to Baltimore, Baltimore needs this win. The Cleveland Browns actually reached out to former quarterback Rex Grossman and said, hey, would you have any interest in coming and possibly, you know, being available for this game? And Rex Grossman said, I would, but I've actually got family coming in for the holidays. No can do. The Browns can't go get someone to come play for them. They can't go get Rex Grossman to come play for them. I would imagine Baltimore will be just fine in that game. We'll see how this all shakes down. The San Diego Chargers have somehow played themselves into a possible playoff spot. I don't know how. I can't believe I'm saying this, but the bolo tie somehow keeps coming through, and San Diego is going to go to Kansas City with a playoff spot, you know, could be on the line. Kansas City really has nothing to play for. They've been eliminated. Having said that, this is exactly the kind of game that Kansas City would probably find a way to win. I know San Diego keeps finding these little, remember last year, they were kind of in a similar situation, and somehow they got through and they found their way into the playoffs. I don't know if they're going to do that this year. Going to be very, very tough to go into KC, a team that already did beat them in San Diego. St. Louis goes to Seattle. St. Louis cannot, another team that just can't find a quarterback. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a little bit. Seattle starting to, and we talked about this back in episode one a couple weeks ago, Seattle starting to look like that same team as last year. They're getting their defense better. They're just playing with that reckless abandon again. Russell Wilson is very, very dangerous. Marshawn Lynch, obviously, is just plowing through everyone and does not care. Here's the one thing to keep in mind. I was watching, again, some of the major networks. I was watching, and they were talking about not only is Seattle looking great, they're looking better than last year. They're looking more powerful than last year. They could be one of the greatest teams of all time. Maybe one of the best defenses of all time. Now, I told you 2 weeks ago, I thought Seattle was coming on. I thought they were getting hot at the right time, and I think they're one of the most dangerous teams out there. But slow down. Slow down. Let me just throw this out to you. Over the last 5 weeks, and I realize, I'm not saying they don't look good. I'm not saying the Seahawks don't look like they might be the team to beat. I'm just saying, here are the quarterbacks they've beaten. Drew Stanton, Colin Kaepernick, Mark Sanchez, Colin Kaepernick again, and Ryan Lindley. Yes, you look good. You look good. And you know what? A lot of teams would look good if they got to play that lineup. So slow down. Slow down. Let's see how this all shakes out. Let's not go anointing the Seattle Seahawks the 85 Bears or anything. Let's watch and see how this plays out. I just like to see them play a good quarterback. I'm not saying that they're, you know, not, like I said, the favorite, but can we see them play somebody besides Drew Stanton? Can we see them beat someone besides Colin Kaepernick who has forgot how to play the position? He looks like he touched the magic ball in Spaceballs and got his game sucked out of him. Let's wait. Let's just wait. Let's slow down. Hey, Carolina. The 6-8-1 Carolina Panthers go to the 6-9 Atlanta Falcons, and the winner goes to the playoffs. We've basically got a playoff game right here. Winner goes to the playoffs. Loser goes home and actually gets a decent draft pick. The New Orleans Saints, remember, were in this fiasco. And they were so bad at home, they couldn't even beat Atlanta at home. Drew Brees, not looking good. Drew Brees has always been that guy that he will force some things in there. Wow, he looks bad. So Carolina, Atlanta, one of those two teams. One of those under 500 teams is going to host, not be in the playoffs, host a playoff game. Bad football. Need to recede these. I keep telling you, need to recede these. Hey, one of the games of the week might be Detroit at Green Bay. Winner has a chance to lock up the one seed. I keep waiting. I keep thinking, you know, Detroit's pretty good. I keep waiting for kind of the other shoe to fall with Detroit. I keep waiting for them to lose to that Minnesota team or that Chicago team. I've been waiting for that all year. It hasn't happened. They play really, really well defensively. And offensively, they do just enough. Now, I realize that Matt Stafford has weapons. He's got Bush. He's got, obviously, Megatron, who always seems to be hurt. But he has some guys up there that if their offense could just get on track, I do want to see their defense go into Green Bay. I want to see that defense go into Green Bay and see what they do against Aaron Rodgers. Detroit at Green Bay this week should be a great game. Arizona is at San Francisco. Another game that has implications. Arizona trying to get their way. You know what's interesting is with that mess with Carolina, Atlanta, there is going to be a very good team, probably a 10-6, maybe an 11-5 team in the NFC that does not make the playoffs and has to sit at home and watch one of these horrible Carolina or Atlanta teams in the playoffs. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Arizona, you know, we kind of got scolded by Bruce Arians. Remember a couple weeks ago, they were getting ready to play the Rams. I think it was on a Thursday night game. And they went out and they beat the Rams with their third string quarterback, Ryan Lindley. We all went, oh, wow, how did Arians do it? And Arians came out and he kind of scolded us all. And he said, yeah, don't underestimate the job we're doing here. And then they went out against Seattle and Seattle drug them up and down the field for four quarters. And I'm just wondering, can we doubt you now, Arians? Can we doubt you now with that third-string quarterback? Because I'm starting to doubt you a little bit. I don't know if they can beat San Francisco this week. And San Francisco looks like an awful team. They look terrible. I watched them against San Diego, and like I said, Colin Kaepernick forgot how to play. He needs to be just like a running back. Forget throwing it. He can't do it anymore. Jim Harbaugh. Where's Jim Harbaugh going to end up? Where is Jim Harbaugh going to... They say there's an $8 million contract for him to go to the University of Michigan. $8 million. There's also talk that maybe there's a trade in the works and that San Francisco would trade him to Oakland. Which of those two would you rather have? Would you rather go to Oakland and coach the Raiders, a dysfunctional franchise with people dressed up as Chewbacca in the stands, or go to Michigan with a delusional franchise that thinks they should be a national championship team every year? I don't know which one he goes with. And you know what's interesting to me, and we're going to talk a little more college football in just a minute, but with Michigan is talking about the candidates that are out there that they're interested in, and they're just throwing everybody out there. I mean, they're like Urban Meyer and Nick Saban and Paul Bear Bryant and Joe Paterno. I mean, we're going after all the big names. Okay. You're probably going to end up with like the backup defensive coordinator from Cincinnati. I don't know. I don't know what Harbaugh is going to do. He's got some decisions to make. I have heard that his wife is calling the shots and she wants to stay in the Bay Area. Maybe he ends up in Oakland. Going to see. It's going to be very, very interesting. Arizona at San Francisco this week, and it probably is Jim Harbaugh's final game as a head coach in San Francisco. The last game and the interesting, one of the most interesting games of the week, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Now, we talked earlier about Cincinnati hosting the Broncos this past week. They looked pretty well. Andy Dalton was adequate. I don't know if he was great. At Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh at home, I can't figure out Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is one of the most schizophrenic teams I've ever seen. They will light a team up one week like the Colts, and then they will lose to the Buccaneers. I can't figure them out. Should be an interesting game right there, and winner is going to have the inside track on getting into those playoffs. That's basically a playoff game right there. If you had to say right now, who would your NFL MVP be? Who would you give that MVP to? We're going to talk a little more about that next week. In fact, we're going to break down with the regular season ending. We're going to break down, some NFL awards. We're going to hand out a few awards. But who would your NFL MVP be? Do you give it to Tony Romo, who has actually this year done less than usual? Do you give it to DeMarco Murray, who has put up some serious numbers? Granted, it seems like they could plug in someone else, and he runs pretty well too, but do you give it to Russell Wilson? He's done some big things. Marshawn Lynch up at Seattle, do you give it to someone like that? What about Tom Brady? Doesn't it almost seem like Rob Gronkowski is the MVP up there? We're going to talk about that a little more. Maybe you give it to J.J. Watt. They're, like we talked about previously, they're putting J.J. Watt in at tight end. They put him over at running back. They might run him back as kicker. They're trying to get J.J. Watt an MVP. Who do your MVP be? Think about that, because we're going to talk about that a little more next week. We're going to hand out some awards on the Daily Dose Sports Podcast next week. Let's talk a little bit of college football. I know we talked a little bit just now about the University of Michigan being delusional, talking about the names that are on their hire list. They're throwing every name in the book out there. We'll see what they end up with. The Air Force Academy beat Western Michigan in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, whatever that is. Utah, and we talked about this a little bit last week. Utah, smashed Colorado State in the Las Vegas Bowl. I told you I didn't think CSU would do well in that game. Hadn't played anyone all year. But it just goes back to the fact that in the state of Colorado, the best college football program year in, year out is the Air Force Academy, a service academy. Something wrong here in Colorado, people. There is something wrong here. Speaking of Colorado State, they have officially hired Georgia offensive coordinator Mike Bobo to be their new head coach. You might remember Jim McElwain has left CSU, has left Fort Collins, and headed down to Gainesville, Florida to be the new coach at the University of Florida. CSU goes after a Georgia guy, and this is a guy, this is Mike Bobo, born, raised, played, coached, everything, University of Georgia. Now he's coming to CSU. Never really been away from Georgia. Now he's coming to CSU. CSU fans, I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is, I think Mike Bobo is a very good recruiter. Sounds like he is one of those guys that goes out and he pulls kids. And down in Georgia and down in the South, he has pulled very, very good players again and again and again for Georgia. The other good news, I think he's a pretty decent offensive coach. Now, you're going to have to see what he gets defensively, but I think he's a pretty good offensive coach. Keep in mind, And I know that the University of Georgia is a little bit schizophrenic. It seems like they go about 8 weeks, look great, look horrible for about 2 weeks, and lose, you know, big clutch games, and then they bounce back. But keep in mind, University of Georgia offense is consistently pretty good. He's got to have something to do with that. Here's the problem, though. Here's the bad news, CSU fans. Mike Bobo is a Georgia guy. At what point does he go back? Yeah, I mean, does the University of Georgia, even though he's at a different school, just name him the coach in waiting if Mark Richt should ever, you know, resign, retire, get fired, whatever? Do they just name him that now and say, hey, Mike, enjoy your 2-3 years up in Fort Collins. When you're done messing around up there and you get a little experience, come on back down. We've got a spot for you. I don't know. Maybe. I know that the state of Colorado, college football wise, is nothing more than a stepping stone at this point. It used to not be that way. It used to be a little different. Hey, Florida State quarterback Jameis Winston has been cleared of any wrongdoing. I know that's a shock. He actually had to go before a school panel, judges and everything there to kind of decide, did he break any school rules? We realize what happened in the court of law. Did he break any school rules? Would that be anything that was, something he could be suspended for, something he could be expelled for, anything like that? Needless to say, they didn't find anything. They said there was a lack of evidence. I know, I'm shocked. If anything were to come out, I promise you it wouldn't have come out until after the national championship game anyway. Here's the problem with Jameis Winston, and something to keep in mind. The Tallahassee Police Department didn't do this kid any favors. They didn't investigate. They didn't do a good job. They kind of just left a lot of things unturned, and they just kind of let it kind of go. And, well, no, I don't think we really need to look into it. No, he's playing well, and he's a hometown. Yeah, let's just keep him going. They didn't do him any favors, because that will always be a little bit over his head as far as, well, did they really investigate this, or did they just let him skate? Now, if he truly is innocent, they didn't do him any favors. They really didn't. Because it looks like you're guilty, because they kind of, just covered it all over. They didn't investigate. Hey, don't forget that one of his boys, they say, had a tape or a video on his phone of what happened, and somehow that video disappeared, and somehow the police didn't even really ask for it. And they didn't even check into the cab that they rode home and to see who had reserved that cab and who had paid for that cab, and they didn't really do any of that. They didn't do him any favors with this stuff. Because it makes it look like a cover-up. Whether it was or not, didn't do him any favors. Head coach Jimbo Fisher continues to amaze me with his insensitivity, talking about there's no victims, there's no crime. Jimbo, slow down. I know you've got a big game. I know you've got a big game coming up against Oregon. Just shut up. Let the police do their work, and you say, hey, we're working with the authorities, and don't talk about no victims, no crime. Slow down. Speaking of Florida State, they're getting ready for this January 1st Rose Bowl game against Oregon in the first ever college football playoff. Apparently, Florida State has not used up their ticket allotment yet. And this is one of the problems. I know this is kind of weird, but this is one of the problems that is out there for a college football playoff situation. Is what if you have a team like, say, Florida State, and they put them in a game, say, I don't know, in California, and no one goes? You have a very good chance of this Rose Bowl not being sold out. You may be looking at a playoff game, at a Final Four game, and seeing empty seats. There's a couple reasons for that. I mean, one, you don't know what teams are going to travel. What if you get a team that consistently is not a great, they're not the Notre Dame, the Nebraska, the teams that just travel. What if you get a team that doesn't travel very well at all? What if, even a Baylor, TCU, who knows how they would have traveled? If you get that situation and then you have them at a location that's not necessarily that convenient. Hey, if Florida State's playing in the Sugar Bowl, yeah, it's sold out. But you're sending them out to the Pacific time zone? That's a little different. That's a little bit different. What if these games don't even get sold out? little bit of a problem. And the other thing to think about is, are people waiting? Are Florida State fans saying, hey, let's wait and see how they do in that first game? And then if they make it to the championship game, then we'll go see. Then we'll go watch. Then we'll show up in person. But let's kind of wait and see how they do in this one first. Because if they don't make it, then I don't want to waste the trip, because that's a long ways away. Something to keep in mind. And when people start talking about, let's expand the playoffs, let's get it to 8 teams, let's get it to 16 teams, let's get it slowed down. Because these are some of the logistical problems that are out there. If you can't travel and you can't sell out the stadium, you've got a problem. You've got a big problem. And TV might not want to show it. And then you've got another problem. A lot of things that you got to think about. Or maybe a lot of fans are just afraid to being in the same state at the same time with both Jameis and Sebastian Janikowski. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. The Miami Beach Bowl. You might have saw it the other night. And we went through last week, if you missed it, we went through and looked at a couple of the bowl games that you might want to keep an eye on. But the Miami Beach Bowl is one we didn't actually touch on. BYU 48, Memphis 55 in two overtimes. Actually, as bizarre as that is, that's not the story. The story was the huge brawl after the game. You know, Memphis runs out on the field to celebrate. BYU obviously is dejected. You get a couple guys bumping into each other. Now you've got some yelling. Now you've got some swinging. Now you've got some guys swinging their helmet at people. One guy's getting punched in the face. There is blood. Let me just throw out an idea to you. And I learned this as a young, admittedly very, very mediocre football player in high school. If there is an issue with fans or there is a fight, please, players, young players, if you're a high school player or college player, please listen to this. Put your helmet on and leave it on. That is my rule for you. That is my advice for you. Put that helmet on and leave the helmet on. Because if something like this happens, I mean, it really does go back to the most obvious reason that human beings are a little bit nuts is the fact that we need helmets. The fact that we don't stop doing these things, that we crash our head into things. We just say, let's wrap some padding around our skull and still smash things, into our heads. It's amazing. Talk a little bit about the NBA. The Boston Celtics traded point guard Rajon Rondo to Dallas. Hey, Rondo has some flaws, can't shoot a free throw to save his life, and doesn't always look like he wants to play defense, but he can improve the Dallas Mavericks if he plays. He is a guy that can distribute. He is the guy that when he wants to, he can get into the paint, he can drive in, and he can break down your defense. That makes him so, so dangerous. I realize he can't shoot a lick. I get that. He goes to the free throw line, he'd be better off at this point just punting the ball up there. But Rondo can get in and break your defense down with the way he can attack the basket. He's great with the assist, great with the drive and dish. He can be good defensively when he wants to. Didn't it kind of look like with Rondo the last couple of years, it looked like he was kind of just playing not to get hurt. He was kind of just playing, I don't want to say soft, but I wouldn't say, he plays a little bit reckless. He's a little bit, he's diving for loose balls. He's a hustler. Last couple of seasons, we haven't seen that. If he gets back to that style of play, he's going to help Dallas a lot. I won't quite put Dallas as the favorite in the West. I'm not quite there yet, but I'd put him at third or fourth. They could be very, very good if he comes out and plays like he's capable of playing. The Detroit Pistons cut forward Josh Smith this week. Cut him. And it wasn't like he did something wrong. It wasn't like he went out and got arrested or went, San Francisco 49er and did whatever he did. It wasn't that. They just cut him. They just said, we're going to go in a different direction. And what that means is we're going to go away from you. That's what different direction means. He had a 4-year, $54 million contract. And what that tells me, and here's the thing. They're talking about the Miami Heat are interested in Josh Smith. The Houston Rockets, the Dallas Mavericks are interested in Josh Smith. We may want to bring him in. He has a huge upside. Don't let him shoot too many threes because he can't shoot out there. But when he is rebounding, when he is attacking the basket, he's capable of playing some defense. Make sure you play him at the right position. I'd rather see him at the three than the four. But what this tells me, if Detroit just flat out cuts you, there's something wrong. You might not have done anything wrong. There's something wrong. He's poison or something. Those teams, the Heat, the Rockets, the Mavericks, whoever might be interested in Josh Smith, be very, very careful. Be very, very careful. Because I'm telling you, you may think you're upgrading. And I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm going to give you a name. A lot of times, teams think they're upgrading. Andrew Bynum. Do you remember the fiasco with Andrew Bynum? A team would look at him, oh, he's big. He could help us here. He's a big man. He could rebound. He could do this. And for some reason, he shows up. And not only does he not play well, he somehow gets the rest of your team to be horrible too. That's the problem with bringing this. I don't think Josh Smith is quite as poisonous as an Andrew Bynum, but be very careful. That is buyer beware. That is buyer beware. I'd be careful with Josh Smith. Because this is the Christmas edition of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, we are going to break down. I'm going to give you, you know, everybody wakes up Christmas morning. You've got these ideas of here's something, you know, this would be nice if I got this, or what if I got one of these? And when, remember when you're a little kid and you're so excited, run downstairs, see what you had. I've got my Christmas wish list that I'm going to give to you. Just a couple things to keep in mind. And if any listeners out there just happen to be like, oh yeah, I can knock that out for you, I would be very, very appreciative. But I've got a couple things that I just want to put out there. Just a couple thoughts, a couple things that I'm hoping Santa brings me this year. So without further ado, here is the Daily Dose Sports Podcast Christmas wish list. And again, help me out if you can. Santa, I hope you're listening. First thing on my Christmas wish list, can we get a larger helmet for Peyton Manning? He takes that helmet off and he has that embedded bruise in that big head. And what I'm wondering, what if that helmet is so tight on his big nugget that that's what's weakening his arm? You know, like if you have... you have like a rubber band too tight around your finger and then the tip of your finger goes numb. What if it's that? I mean, what if his head is, can we get him a helmet that fits? I realize we're getting into a good sized helmet for that head. I understand that. I realize you're trying to get a helmet on one of the Easter Island statues. I get it. But can we get him a helmet that fits? He takes off that helmet and I feel like that thing on his forehead, it's... Okay, that's the first thing on my Christmas wish list. Second thing on my Christmas wish list, and this is a tough one. Santa, I realize I'm asking for a lot on this one. Can we please have neither the Patriots or the Seahawks in the Super Bowl this year? Both teams just get on my nerves. You know, it used to be. Do you remember back in like 85 when the Patriots, they had Tony Eason and they made the playoffs and they get to the Super Bowl and then you like felt sorry for them? And they, you know, the Bears went out and crushed them. And then they made the Super Bowl, what was that, back in about 96, and they got beat by the Packers. And then they made the Super Bowl, and Belichick and Tom Brady was young and a rookie, and they played, who'd they have that year? The Rams. They played the St. Louis Rams. And you were like, oh, I wish they could just stay in the game. And somehow they won it. And we were all kind of excited for the Boston area. And, oh, well, you guys have been terrible for years, so here's this. And now, I'm just so tired of the Patriots. I'm sick of them. And Tom Brady now, you get near him on a pass rush, and he starts crying. And we've seen him flop like a soccer player. He's wearing Uggs, and like got his hair done at the style. I'm kind of sick of the Patriots. And then the Seahawks, you know, I kind of like aspects of them. They're just kind of getting on my nerves, always talking about how great they are and beating their chest. And we got that whole 12th man thing going up in Seattle. Notice we haven't heard as much about the 12th man this year because they finally won something that mattered. Remember every year Seattle and Kansas City were having this battle of who the loudest fans were because let's face it, neither one of them has really won anything. And then, I mean, yes, I know. I know Chiefs fans, slow down. I know back when Len Dawson was playing and you had leather helmets, I realized you won that post-Civil War matchup. But since then, neither one of you has won anything. So you were having these, oh, we're louder than you are. Oh, we're louder than you are. I mean, we have nothing else to do. It's not like we're winning. And now that Seattle has won, they're kind of like, oh, that was kind of stupid, wasn't it? I'm just sick of both these teams. Santa, can we get both these teams knocked out? I don't want to see either one of them. I don't know who it's going to be, but I don't want either one of them. Next thing on the Daily Dose Christmas wish list, the Denver Nuggets, I want them just to tank completely and let's just level this team and start over. They can even move to a different city. I don't even care. I'm over this team. Keep in mind, the Nuggets, by the way, are awful. I mean, they are horrible this year. And I don't think they're trying to tank on purpose. I think they're just that bad. I mean, they're sitting at 12-17. They're nowhere near the playoffs. They don't have any pieces that really fit together. Keep in mind, by the way, that there were some experts out there talking about, oh, Nuggets are going to be a surprise team this year. Yeah, surprise. They're horrible. I'm not surprised one bit. This is all, by the way, George Karl Karma. When you fire a head coach that's taking you to places you have never been before or since, you get bad karma, and that's why this is all happening. Can we just let the GM, Tim Connelly, who, I mean, he rebuilt the Pelicans, he rebuilt the Wizards, can we just let him start over and hey, build this into something? Because right now, this is so dysfunctional. The Nuggets offense is horrible. The only way they're even remotely functional is if point guard Ty Lawson is in the game and playing really, really well. Kenneth Faried, who had a great offseason with Team USA, we thought maybe Kenneth Faried is a guy that he's going to come in, he's going to show in the NBA. He kind of just seems disinterested. Maybe he hates this team or he hates the head coach, Brian Shaw. I don't know what it is, but he doesn't seem that interested in playing night in, night out. And that was the thing that got him through. He was the hustle guy. Now he doesn't seem like he cares. And Brian Shaw, I don't think Brian Shaw quite knows what he wants to do with this team. Do we run? Are we a running team? Are we going to be a fast-breaking team? Oh, no. We're going to play defense. We're going to focus on our defense. We're just going to be a defensive team. We're just all defense. Well, maybe we'll walk it up and we're going to pound it inside. Well, we don't really have the... I don't think he quite knows what he wants to do. I know this. I know that we need to just level this whole team and start over. Because this team has a bunch of round holes and square pegs. Nothing fits together. Nuggets need to start over. That's the next thing on my list. Next on the Christmas list, Colorado Rockies fans. Speaking of awful, can Colorado Rockies fans please not renew your season tickets? Please stop it. Don't renew those season tickets. I don't want you rewarding this horrible franchise. Keep in mind, this is a franchise that refuses to go get free agents. They refuse to build pitching like they should. All they do is pat themselves on the back again and again and again about, oh, this is finally the year. No, it isn't. And it's not going to be. Stop renewing the tickets. I realize you want to go down there. You want to sit in the upper deck and get high. I get it. Go somewhere else. Stop going to these games because until you do, nothing is going to change. Just stop it. I want a new contract for Denver Broncos defensive tackle Terrence Knighton. I want him to be the priority in the offseason. He's more important. I can't believe you're going to be mad I say this. He's more important than Demaryius Thomas. I can go find a big wide receiver. That's not as hard. He's more important than Julius Thomas. I can go find a tight end who's injured. This is a guy with Terrence Knighton, with Pot Roast. He plays hard every week. He's good in the locker room. And defensive tackles are rare. He is priority number one. Go lock him up. Another thing I want, I was watching Monday Night Football with the Bengals and the Broncos this last week. I want John Gruden to be John Gruden. Can you stop just telling me how great every single guy is? I want John Gruden to be like, Andy Dalton, what are you doing here? You're looking out, you're throwing to a receiver, you're hanging him out to dry. What are you doing? What do you think? I want John Gruden to be John Gruden. I don't want you just to pump every single. Now that guy's great. Not every guy's great, John. He's a smart guy. I want him to, can he show it? I want the Cincinnati Bengals, speaking of that game, I want them coming to Denver in the playoffs. I want a rematch with that team. I've never seen a team that has a history of just being hideous pat themselves on the back more than I saw the other night. These guys are celebrating after, like, it was like second and three and they pick up the first down and they're jumping up and running up and down and pounding their chest. Really? And I don't want to be the old guy, oh, stop with those celebrations and get off my lawn. I don't want to be that guy. But can you at least make a good play before you celebrate? Keep in mind, they had that, you know, the big kick return. They had the interception. They were getting taunting penalties. And what are you doing? Settle down, Cincinnati. I hope you come to Denver. I think we desperately would like a piece of you again. I want, here's a couple more things. I want the Thursday NFL games to change. Either get rid of them because the Thursday night games are usually terrible, or you only have to play a Thursday night game the week after your bye week. That way we get a little bit better product. And you know, to do this, all you have to do is extend the season by 1 week and make it an 18-week season. You bump the bye weeks out, and you could make Thursday night games be a little bit more decent, and then you'd get the bye week. It wouldn't be quite as painful. These Thursday night games are bad, and they need to get better. I want Major League Baseball to institute a pitch clock. And you've got 15 seconds to get that next pitch up. And if there's no pitch, then that's automatically a ball. And if the batter steps out of the box and he wants to readjust his wristband and take off his glove and take off his shoes and put his shin guard back on and then put his hat back on, put his gloves back on, get his wristbands just right, and then get a, I realize you want TV time, but if you take more than those 15 seconds and you're not ready, then I get to plunk you and it counts as an out. Now that I'm watching. I'm watching that. That would be entertaining. I would want to see that. Last thing I want on my Christmas wish list is very, very simple. And this I bring to you, listeners of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Go download the sports podcast and put it on the sports fans mobile device in your life. I want some more listeners. I want a few more people listening to the podcast. Put it on their mobile device. You know, go review it on iTunes. Go review it on Podomatic, which is the other site that we use to host it. Give it the 5 stars. Help get us into the hot new and upcoming podcast. That's what I want. I want more listeners. Go tell a friend about the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Let them know they need to be listening. Because the more listeners we get, the better off it's going to be. We're going to get better. Hey, getting ready to close this out. But just before we get done, I just wanted to give you our Daily Dose. And we do this every single week. Our Daily Dose Top 5. I gave you my Christmas list. You guys have an idea of some of the things that I want, that I'm hoping to find under the tree. But this week, because it is the Christmas edition, because we have a little bit of the holiday edition, you know, I was thinking about Christmas songs. And I was thinking about, you know, there's a lot of Christmas songs that are out there. And I told you last week, some of them are terrible. You know, a lot of, you know, I like some Christmas music, but when they start playing, when I have to hear like Santa Baby performed by like Iggy Azalea, I'm looking for an ice pick to stick in my ear. I've got some NFL inspired Christmas songs that I wanted to put out for the top five this week. So in light of Christmas, in light of this being Christmas Eve and tomorrow is the big day, I decided we're going to give you the Daily Dose top five NFL inspired Christmas songs. Are you ready? Are you ready? Number five on our Christmas song list that is inspired by the NFL. This is for the Dolphins. This is for the Bills. This is for the Eagles. This is for the 49ers. And this is for, you know, the Saints. I'll be home for Christmas. They're not going to the playoffs. We all know that. So that is our number five on the list. I'll be home for Christmas, just for those special teams that are out there. Number four on our list of NFL-inspired Christmas songs, Cutler, the red-nosed backup. Yes, Jay Cutler got benched a week ago in favor of a quarterback that had one of the worst ratings, I believe, of all time, Jimmy Clausen. Clausen actually came in and played pretty good, but he got hurt in the loss to the Lions. Here's a couple things to keep in mind. A couple rumors I've heard out there. For one, understand why the Bears benched Jay Cutler. They benched him because they don't want him to get hurt. He's got a huge contract, and if he gets hurt, no one's going to take him and take that huge contract. So understand that's why they benched him. But I've heard a couple rumors that are out there, and I just want to throw these out there. I just want to throw them out, and you do with them what you will. What if Cutler went to Tennessee where he had played at Vandy, still has a home in Tennessee, still spends time in Tennessee, maybe he goes to Tennessee. They desperately need a quarterback. They need some sort of identity with that terrible franchise. What if he went to St. Louis? St. Louis seems like they've got a lot of pieces in place if they could just get a quarterback. Sam Bradford gets hurt every year. What if he went to St. Louis, played for Jeff Fisher? Jeff Fisher has been known to get some things out of quarterbacks. And the last rumor that I have heard, what if Mike Shanahan took over in Chicago? Remember, Shanahan drafted Cutler, didn't get a whole lot of time with him, ended up getting fired here in Denver. What if he went to Chicago? Keep in mind, and I know that might sound out there, Shanahan is a Chicago guy. That's where he was born and raised. Went to school, I believe, at Eastern Illinois back in that area. Might not be that far-fetched. I don't know. Might not be that far-fetched. Our number four on our list of NFL-inspired Christmas songs, Cutler, the red-nosed backup. Number three on our list. You know, we've all heard the old hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High. You know, I was thinking about Josh Gordon with the Cleveland Browns. Had a little bit of problem with some, you know, the marijuana thing, and he was suspended for a good portion of the season. So we're going to call this one Josh Gordon We Have Heard Gets High. That is our number three on our list. Now, our number two, I told you earlier that it's reached a point with me with Tom Brady. It kind of gets on my nerves. He's wearing the Uggs. He's got the wife, whatever, telling people how they should play football. I don't know. Tom just kind of gets on my nerves. So our number two on our list of top NFL-inspired Christmas songs, I Saw Tommy Kissing Santa Claus. Yep, I said it. I said it. That's all there is to it. I said it. It's out there. It's out there. Our number one Daily Dose top five NFL-inspired Christmas song. Are you ready? Are you ready for the number one on our list? Peyton got run over by a Bengal. That's it. That's our number one Daily Dose top five NFL-inspired Christmas song for the week. Keep in mind, next week, we're going to hand out some NFL awards. We are going to have a New Year's special. We'll be looking back at the best and the worst of 2014. We've got a little bit of a college football preview, looking at those two playoff games and how they're going to break down. As usual, we'll talk NFL, NBA, might get to some NHL, some college basketball, some college football. You never know. And as usual, we'll have our very popular top five segment that you've just heard. Hey, like I said before, feel free, go to iTunes, download the podcast, become a subscriber. Get on there, give us the review, give us the five stars, give us a nice review, say something complimentary about how much you love the show. Hey, you can also go to the website podomatic.com. That is P-O-D-O-M-A-T-I-C, podomatic.com. You can subscribe there. You can download there. You can actually review and get us up in the top, those up-and-coming podcasts on Podomatic as well. Either one of those, I really do appreciate it. As usual, could not do this without JSP. Thank you for all that you do. Hey, had a great time this week. Same time, same place next week. Next Wednesday, we will do that New Year's show. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. Hey, Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you have a great, great holiday.